Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then,
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one.
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the skyline studio. It's the Jim Bob Show, game day edition of Jim Bob on the line. Excited to have a college football Hall of Famer, an all-time beloved Bear Super Bowl champion, and one of the great personalities on probably the greatest team in NFL history.
He's got, here's the deal, too many accolades to mention, Dane. I mean, the biggest accolade, and I was talking to Kevin about this, is that the biggest accolade, I mean, everybody knows Kevin Butler. I mean, all-time great for the Bears. You know, I mean, he's on the all-century team. I mean, first kicker ever to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Welcome, Kevin Butler, to the show.
Jim Bob, good to hear from you guys. Everything well?
Oh, man, it's great, buddy. We are so excited. We Kevin and I spent some time earlier this week at Chris Chilios' Children's Charity Foundation out of Butterfield. Kevin, number one, great guy, great golfer, because, you know, I mean, kickers and quarterbacks and punters, all of them, I mean, they're good golfers. That's just the way it goes.
I wonder why that is.
I mean, they have a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time on our hands.
So, Kevin, you know, everybody knows you. We don't have to do any introduction to you, but I got to say this, in the fact that one of the things that I was reading about, you know, this was the 40-year anniversary of your great kick against Clemson to beat them. And I know you've talked about it a lot and so forth over the years, because, I mean, that was one of those kicks that really cemented your travels into the first, which I was shocked. I really was shocked. The very first kicker ever inducted into the Football College Hall of Fame. And so people, so you understand this, there's been about 6.5 million people play college football. Okay. And Kevin was the very first kicker to ever get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. What is that? What did that mean to you?
Well, I tell you, Jim, it really is an honor. And when you say it like that, it even sounds better. So I might have to get a recording of that. But, you know, it was just a great honor. You know, my coach, Vince Dooley, really lobbied for me. He felt that I really contribute to the success of the team back then. He used the kicking position as an offensive weapon, and that was something that I responded to. And, you know, it does blow my mind to think about all the other kickers before me that I looked up to. I tried to emulate, you know, one kicker in particular was Steve Little out of Arkansas, a really good athlete, quarterback in high school, and did kicking as a sidebar, and then went on at Arkansas, and with Lou Holtz there, really became a stud with Erchslaven and Tony Franklin out in the Southwest Conference. And then you get the Groza brothers. I mean, I was at the Hall of Fame, probably inducted 5 years, and we gave the Lifetime Achievement Award to the Groza brothers. And I looked at them, I go, how does this happen? How am I in it and you two aren't?
Well, I got to tell you, that's something that, I mean, I go back and we go back. I was looking at it and I went back to the 40s and I looked at Lou Groza, and then I looked at the 50s and Pat Summerall, you know, another great Arkansas kicker. And I looked at Jan Stenerud and Russell Erchslaven. And I mean, and then here's Kevin Butler. And you, which I really am, I mean, to me, it really is almost shocking that the College Football Hall of Fame decided to go, hey, this guy right here is the most successful, important kicker in College Football Hall of Fame. He's going to be our first kicker. And here's the deal. I got to tell you, number one, it's deserving. You do deserve it. But I'm just shocked that the kicking community was ignored for so long in the College Football Hall of Fame. And I'm so glad that you broke the barrier. And I'm hoping that, certainly, you're going to make the positions for and take be the steward for other great kickers. Because I'll tell you what, there's been so many great kickers like yourself. I think that it's been overlooked and undervalued.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that because I do too. Jason Hansen became the second guy in a couple of years ago, and I was there, and I told him, I said, hey, now we've got two votes for the next kicker, so we're on our way now. So, you start talking about it. I think Sebastian Janikowski should probably make it in if, he's on the ballot this year. So those types of things will start to come around more, and certainly with kickers becoming so much better, now they're kicking off the ground, the goalposts are a little smaller. My days, I had a kicking tee, so the distance at that point was new for a lot of people. And I think a lot of our coaches, the offensive-minded coaches, would never really think to kick a 55, 56, 57 to 60. And my last college attempt was from 71, and that was probably my best kick of my college career, and it dropped about a foot short. Right.
Yeah, that was against Florida State. I saw that kick. Is it? We played at the same era. I went to, I started my college career where, I'm a little bit older than you, but we started. You kicked that 71 yarder and you missed it by a half of a foot.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I told Coach Dooley before, right when we got the ball, I said, "Hey, give me 3 yards," and then we attempted, I think, 3 passes in a row for the first time probably in my career. Georgia was not a throwing team, but we didn't gain anything. And Coach said, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And when I went out there, I remember my holder, Jimmy Harrell, who's still a dear friend of mine, he turned around and looked the other way. He goes, hell, we could make that one left footed. And I go, well, we got to go the other way. He goes, well, I'm going to lean it back. I said, you should probably lean it back as far as we can. And it was a great kick, but came up a little short. But I remember the first person when I missed it was Bobby Bowden came up to me. He goes, Kevin, I thought you made that damn thing. And I was like, well, we didn't, Coach. But, we walked off in a tie at that point. But, that gave me the opportunity. You're right. The long kick against Clemson, that put me on the kind of the national map. But, we had good games. We had good teams. We played for championships. And I think that was all part of what the Hall of Fame looked at, and it was certainly what Coach Dick and Jerry Venisi looked at when they drafted me, that I had been in big situations, I had responded in those, came up on top most of the time, and I think that's what you have to do as a kicker, and certainly the Bears gave me that opportunity for 11 years.
We'll talk about the Bears in just a second. On the kicking side of it, there is absolutely no question that kickers and those kicking situations and those games, all the special teams, it's consequential. It comes down. It wins games. It loses games. And just as Coach Dooley advocated for you and you as a personality advocating for future kickers in there, why do you think, because it is so important, that it hasn't got the recognition, NFL Hall of Fame, special teams, college, there just isn't that many players that have been recognized. I think maybe, and I want your thoughts on this, you were one of those great personalities, had great relationships with the teams. I was talking with Dan Hampton. We mentioned a little bit about the kicker situation with Devin Hester going in. He's like, I don't know, kickers, they're different cats. You got along with everybody. Is that it? Because you just had such a great relationship with everyone.
Well, I did, but I think where my philosophy was I grew up playing football. I loved it. I got hurt my senior year and I got a knee injury. I was quarterback, defensive back. I ran back punts. I ran back kickoffs. I played soccer. I was all-state soccer. I traveled on an international soccer team. Kicking just happened to be what I did better than anybody at the time because nobody did it. It wasn't like I was competing against all these other people. I believe because of my high school, we had a good run of kickers from my high school in my area. And I really do believe it was from me and a guy named Mark Fleetwood, who kicked at South Carolina, and Ron Rice, who kicked at Georgia Tech. We were all from DeKalb County. And, you know, Chris Gardocki came, Todd Peterson came, Jason Elan came. We had a lot of NFL kickers pop in from this area because coaches finally said, hey, you know, I can have a kicker's position. I don't have to look down on them. A lot of players still look down on them. My teammates did not look down on me because I wasn't kicking. I was a quarterback for the defensive backs. I would get in line with the receivers. I would, on the hottest days, I would go and get in line with the offensive linemen and go two or three times just to give these guys a little bit more of a break, catch their breath. I didn't want to be just over there. I had to be involved, and that's how I got involved. And I think what the team loved the most about the Bears, and my record holds with the Bears. I don't think this will ever be broke. I never had a kickoff returned, and I made many, many tackles. I got hurt by stepping in front of big old guys like Jim Bob and getting the hell knocked out of me, and broke my collarbone, separated my shoulder, broke my wrist, hurt my hip. All the time, it wasn't from kicking, it was from tackling. And I just remember the guys coming up and laughing. My jersey would be dirty. I'd be sitting over there with a weird look on my face because I just got the hell knocked out of me. And they were coming up, great job, and they would giggle and laugh, like, look at the kicker getting in the way of a football game. And that's really what I did, but I enjoyed it, and I didn't know any different. I remember Morton Anderson, who's in the Football Hall of Fame, he come up to me and go, why do you tackle? We're not paid to tackle. And I'm like,
you're not.
You've got a point, but I can't get it out of my blood. And yeah. I would never want to face one of my teammates, especially on that defense, by letting a guy in the end zone. I mean, I knew how hard that 46 defense played. I don't know how many, but five Hall of Famers on it. They would have probably gotten me kicked off the team had they seen me give an ole and let some guy run right past me. But that's the way I earned it. I mean, and I prepared. I always prepared. I was working out with the tight ends, the quarterbacks. I'd come in and do the same conditioning test. I wasn't going to lower my level of standards to just be a kicker. And, the guys appreciated that. When you weren't successful, your team would back you. And they would back you because they knew you prepared 100%. And they also knew that you can't be successful every time. And when you have a relationship that with your team, you're going to be successful, and so are they.
How about your soccer background? And you were All-State at soccer. What's your high school name? Redan, what is it?
Redan.
You won the state championship with a kick too. Okay. And not everybody, let's go back a little bit. Here's what I'm setting up for you. Kevin's made a lot of big kicks. Okay. I mean, we're not talking about playing Kansas School for the Deaf. He won a state championship, one about kicking, and he beat Clemson with that great 6-yarder. But, after your great kick in Clemson, okay, you've turned and you go down towards the students and you do the soccer slide and you damn near cost to Georgia Bulldogs the game. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, do I remember that? I came over and thought I was a big man on campus, and Coach Dooley just chewed my ass out. It was crazy. One of the craziest finishing things, and I think that was what was really fun, reliving it. Those were very tough to be televised back then.
I had to go back and watch it. And you turn and you run it
on Raycon Sports Network. I don't think they're still around, but
it's on the internet, man. I watched you go do the slide, and I watched Dooley chew your ass out, and I watched you damn near lost the game because they came back, and you made the comment. This is a great comment. So Kevin does a slide, goes to the students, and then Dooley chews his ass out, and I would have let Kevin boom it out of the end zone, but Dooley says, no, let's squib kick it. Well, hell, they get the ball, and then they run a couple quick plays. Well, hell, they go out of bounds on the 35-yard line, and the guy who was the most valuable player, not Kevin Butler, the timekeeper.
No doubt. It was just the kickoff. We squibbed it, And the guy picked it up, ran up about 15 yards, stopped, and chunked it back across field. And that was the actual return that he went out of bounds. And so there's 11 seconds left when we kicked off.
Oh.
And every Clemson fan in the world says there was 1 second left. And every Georgia fan said no time left as he stepped out of bounds. And Donald Ikpe, who was the kicker for Clemson, would have certainly made the field goal.
Yeah,
it would have been a 48-yarder or something.
He would have made that. And you guys, it would have been a tie. But what I love is, so Monday, Kevin goes into class and he gets a state ovation, and his mom keeping it real. And he tells his mom, he goes, "Was that because you just showed up in class?"
Yeah. My mom's had some good ones, I tell you. And I'll definitely tell you her best line as a Bear fan. But that was a great one. She goes, Were they cheering for you because of the kick or because you came to class?
He finally saw him.
I said, "Mom, probably a little of both. I don't know."
You think about the success that, obviously, so much success at the Georgia program, and you're still a known and revered player there as well. And you look at the Bears now, and I feel like, you know, the 85 Bears, nationally, globally, it was an iconic situation. You guys are always going to be popular, but the players on your team are still just as big of draws and stars and personalities as ever. Part of that is because of maybe a lack of anywhere near that kind of success since for the team. I know that you guys are excited about this year's Bears team. It's not like a 72 Dolphins where they just want everyone else to lose forever. So talk, Kevin, if you can, about just the excitement related to this year's team.
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount of excitement. You know, the way they won this past weekend was, you know, kind of evident of special teams and defense. You know, Caleb's going to see a lot of things this year, as any rookie quarterback's going to see. I think people in Chicago got the hopes up a little bit that, you know, we got rid of Fields and now we're going to get another rookie that's going to come in here and, you know, take the NFL by storm. And unfortunately, Jim Bob, you know, it doesn't happen that way. He saw things this weekend that he's never seen.
Yeah.
And that showed the speed's quicker. You have a, you know, preseason speed. You got a regular season. And as you were talking about it, Jim Bob, there's just different speeds for every week that you go deeper into the season. And
yeah, he saw that. I tell you what, you and I talked about it. We were on the bus together and we were talking about it, and I said the same thing, is that, hey man, there's preseason, you know, there's college coming out of college, and then you get into the NFL and then you see the NFL preseason. Then guess what? Crank it up, because here comes season. That's a different speed level. And then the playoffs are a whole different speed level. But the fact of it is, Caleb, who I watched him, and, you know, I went to camp and watched the Bears at camp, and I watched him perform, and they were on his ass. I mean, let me tell you something. He was getting coached up. That Bears staff was coaching him up on everything. I mean, they were talking about his heel placement, his toe placements on throws, and they were coaching the hell out of him. And he just, He had a bad game, and I'm not overreacting. The Bears defense stepped up, special teams stepped up, and, you know, kicking game was there. But he I saw him not make that adjustment to real time speed, and he'll make it up. But again, like you said, like you brought up, I think that's such a great point you brought up. And go, hey coach, I need to go kick at Soldier Field. Well, why? And, yeah. Well, duh. I mean, that's so right on. And so now Caleb's had his first taste of, and this, and you know this, once you get into the NFL, everybody's fast, everybody's big, everybody's strong. It ain't like college where, hey, there's four or five guys here that are super, super good. The other guys are just so-so. I mean, in the NFL, everybody was the best on their team. And so he saw a little bit of that in his first game. And you know, I still think there's a – hey, they came back, and the good news is 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best thing that you can get out of it is – they won with the play that he had, but they, you know, they kept him in check. They didn't. I think the Bears did a good job of protecting him also the first week, and he'll get better as each week goes along. But, you know, it's not like a rookie kicker. You know, I got one thought when I'm out there. You know, that young man's got every play, every player, lot going on. And as fast as it hit him this past week, he'll get more comfortable with each week. So I'm excited about him. I think it's a tough division. I think that Detroit is certainly a team, and that, you know, we're going to have to, I think that'll be our battle in that division. I, you know, Minnesota just you know, I just don't see them really separating themselves. But I think the Detroit team that lost this weekend is going to be the competition for the Bears getting out of that division. It'd be great to win that division. You want to go in as a wild card. So,
yeah, I tell you what, the NFC North is the toughest division. The AFC North and the NFC North are the two top divisions in toughest division in NFL, in my opinion.
Kevin, we know that, you know, obviously such a great force and personality and player as you were playing now, you know, on the broadcast side, and of course, sharing your thoughts here, staying in the game as well. And so before we let you go, like, where can people keep up with you? Obviously the Georgia broadcast, and but social media wise, is there any ways people are keeping up with Kevin Butler?
Yeah, I do the Georgia broadcast. So we do an hour after Coach Smart's show for the last 17 years. Been doing the pre and the post game for University of Georgia football. We have a live show on Sundays called the Bulldog Brunch. We do it 10 to 12. My handle is at the real butthead. And, you know, I'm out there a good bit, still doing a lot of speaking, but work with a company out of Chicago called OMI Industries. And I head up some business development for them, and also work with Field Turf Tarquette. So those things are keeping me busy. Have some private investments that I'm in, just like Jim Bob. We get a lot of opportunities. We like to talk about the few that are doing good, not all the ones that failed, because yeah, we've seen them all.
That's right, buddy.
But you know, I've been very blessed, and you know, I've got all my family around here in Atlanta. I've got my sixth grandchild coming at the end of January. I've been married to my lovely wife Kathy for 38 years. She owns a business down here in Georgia. It's been for 43 years. They've had a bridal business down here. So we're just very blessed. My dad passed away about a year ago, and he was one of the biggest Bear fans ever. And I used to put him on the equipment truck for the Green Bay game, and he would go up there with Tony Medlin and Gary Hager, and they'd sleep inside the stadium the night before in their RV. And
wow.
You know, those memories of the times in Chicago's are some of my best football memories, and I'm very blessed to be able to be involved with Georgia. They treat me like gold here. I got inducted into the Circle of Honor at Georgia a few years back after getting my degree, and that was a big accomplishment for me, just personally. And you know, hey, I'll always be a Bulldog, and I'll always be a Bear. It doesn't matter what the Bears organization says, I'm going to don myself as a Bear, whether they like it or not. And, I love it.
Well, I tell you what, I love visiting with you. And like I said, you know, Amy was giving me static about it. She goes, "God dang, another man crush for you." I go, "Well, this is, you know, Butthead." Butthead was the man. Is that? But I want to just tell you, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're going to have you again during the course of the season. We'll be back, and it said, especially listen, if that special teams doesn't hold up and that defense doesn't hold up, we're going to have you back on, and we're going to talk about what they need to do. So, buddy, thanks for being on the show with us, and man, have a great day, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
I appreciate it. Loved it. It was a lot of fun.